We're doing Gemara Makos. We're up to him and off the bottom of the page. The Mishnah had quoted, if a pair of witnesses are brought, and the second set of witnesses says, you were with us at that time. Then a third set of witnesses comes, and again the second set of witnesses say, you were with us at that time. And this happens a fourth time, and a fifth time, a sixth time. Every pair of witnesses he brings, the same second pair says, you were with us at the time you claim you witnessed it. So Rav Yehuda said, this is istatis. This is a conspiracy. This second set of witnesses, something wrong with them. They obviously are out to ensure that testimony doesn't get accepted. How could it be that every pair of witnesses that comes, they say, you were with us? So Rav Yehuda says, you only kill the first group, the first pair of witnesses. So that's strange. If you don't believe these witnesses, how come you believe him about the first pair? Right. Says the Gemara. Don't kill the first pair of witnesses either, now that you see that these guys are a bunch of liars. Rabbi Abu says, no, we're talking about a scenario where they already killed the first set of witnesses. So, a pair of witnesses A comes in and says, we saw Mr. Joe Schmo murder. Pair of witnesses B comes in and says, you're with us at the time, so you guys get the death penalty. Okay, they get the death penalty. And then a third set of witnesses come in and say, we saw Joe Schmo kill. And then this second set of witnesses come back and says, you're with us at the time you say you saw it. Fourth pair of witnesses, same story. So now we already killed the first pair. So the Gemara says, if that's what you're talking about, my dehavahavah, so who cares? Whatever happened to him, why does the Mishnah have to say? Rabbi Yehuda says you don't kill anyone but the first pair. That's not Rabbi Yehuda's position. If you're talking about a specific case where they killed the first one, what does that have to do with halacha? What do I care what happened? So there was once a story like this, and they killed the first pair. Why does that enter our Mishnah? Who cares? Ela, no, that's not the right answer. Amar Rava, a new answer. Hachi kamal. The Mishnah means to say the following. The Mishnah means to say that you'll only kill witnesses when the second set of witnesses testified once you were with us. But the second pair of witnesses walk in and say, we saw the crime, and that same pair of witnesses says you were with us, we won't kill anyone. Meaning, our Mishnah said, if 100 pair of witnesses come in, and this second set always says you were with us, then it's a conspiracy. You only kill the first group means to say, once that second set of witnesses says a second time about another group of witnesses, you were with us at the time of the crime, we won't kill anyone. We already suspect this is a conspiracy. That's what the Mishnah means to say. Now that's a very logical claim. The only problem is the wording of the Mishnah is difficult. The wording of the Mishnah is, you kill the first set of witnesses alone. That seems to indicate there's another pair of witnesses here. Habilvad kamar, but the Mishnah says you kill the first pair alone. That seems to indicate that there are other witnesses who you won't kill. So that seems to indicate that we're talking about after the second set of witnesses already said about other pairs, you were with us, and yet you'll only kill the first pair. So that answer is difficult. Kasha, the Gemara says, you're right, that's difficult.
Why can't we say that first pair that was already killed?
The first answer the Gemara gave?
No, Abi Levad.
So, let's read the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says, Einan Ereget Elakat Rishona Bilvan. You don't kill only the first pair, the first set.
So what is the answer there?
So Rabba's answer is, you'll only kill when they were mizim, when they testified against one set of witnesses. Right. You'll only kill when they testified about one set. Once the second set of witnesses testifies about more than one set, you won't kill based on their testimony. So then the Gemara says, but it says you'll only kill one set alone. That seems to indicate there's another set who you won't kill. That when you're killing that one set, you're killing them alone. Seemingly indicate there are others at the time of execution.
Why can't we say that we kill the first set, the third set we don't kill, that refers to the...
So then we say, wait a second, the reason you're not killing the third set is because you believe these guys are liars. So why do you believe them about the first set? How could you kill? Once you're saying they're liars, don't believe them to kill anyone.
They were already killed.
If you're saying they were already killed, so what relevance? Then you're not telling me halacha.
And you can't just to say levado means you can only kill, that's a possible answer, you can only kill one set of witnesses.
That wouldn't be levado. Then you'd have the same thing without the word bilvad. You have the same meaning. Enane regit elakat rishona. Why do you need the word bilvad? That's the whole mission of then it adds that word.
But it's like it's saying, like mute to eliminate any other sets of witnesses. It doesn't work.
Bilvad indicates that they're here.
No, you don't need
the bilvad indicates I'm killing them alone, meaning there's someone else here who I might have executed and we won't. So that seems that the other sets of witnesses are here already.
Either the second or third are killed, but the other one's not.
Someone isn't, right? Yes, clear? Okay, story time. Hahi itita. There was a woman, De'atya Sadi. She brought witnesses for her case, Vishtaku. And then her witnesses were found to be liars during cross-examination. Aiti Sahadi, she brought a second set of witnesses, Vishtaku, and they were also found to be liars during cross-examination. Azla Aiti Sahadi Achini, so she went out and brought a third pair of witnesses, Delo Ishtaku, and that third pair of witnesses, they couldn't catch him, they couldn't trip him up. Even during cross-examination, they were not found to be liars. Amar Reish Lakish Uchzikazo, Reish Lakish says, well, with all due respect, this woman has already validated herself. She has a chazaka. We already have a reason to believe that she brings false witnesses. We have no reason to accept any witnesses that she brings. So that's interesting because, first of all, we have a machlokas in chazaka. When we want to say that something's been validated, do you need two times to prove it or three times? Machlokes. And in sugiyot of sakana, we go with two. In sugiyot of monetary issues, we go with three. Now over here, it only happened twice. So maybe this was relevant to something of a sakana, I don't know. Like in areas of health, if a person, God forbid, circumcised two children and they died, we won't let him circumcise the third. Even though ordinarily we say three times makes a chazaka, that's because it's a machlokas. So in monetary issues, we go with three. In health issues, we go with two. Once something has been proven to be dangerous twice, we don't do a third time. So over here, it seems like it only happened twice. I don't know why he'd say it's a chazaka. But at any rate, Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Reish Lakish was Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law and top disciple. Rabbi Elazar was Rabbi Yochanan's second disciple. I mean, he was second in line after Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan much preferred Reish Lakish to Rabbi Elazar. When Reish Lakish died, so Rabbi Elazar was his top disciple and he went mad. He went out of his mind. He couldn't handle it. Rabbi Yochanan. He literally asked to die. He couldn't continue life. So even though Rabbi Elazar was a top rabbi, he shows up throughout the Shas. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. But Reish Lakish was number one. So remember, Reish Lakish was a chozer b'tshuva. He learned. And then he went out to become a bandit. And then Rabbi Yochanan brought him back and set up the shidduch with his sister. So Reish Lakish said, I'm not accepting any more witnesses from this lady. She's proven herself that she always brings liars. So this time we didn't catch him. I still don't trust him. Rabbi Elazar said, you know, even though she has proven herself that she hires liars, but what are you going to say now? That all the Jewish people are going to be liars the second they come in to testify on her behalf? It's true, I can't trust her. But what are you going to say? All the Jews are not kosher because she's been proven that she hires liars?
Does that mean if you brought 10 set pairs, if she brought 10 pairs of witnesses and all of them were found to be liars, that you would still believe 11?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know. Azimni Navuyatve Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. It happened a different occasion. They were sitting before Rabbi Yochanan the Rebbe. The identical story happened. Person had a court case. They brought in pair number one, and Rabbi Yochanan was able to trip him up during cross-examination. Pair number two, they tripped him up during cross-examination. Pair number three stood their ground. Reish Lakish said, we can't accept her third pair of witnesses because she's already proven herself to be the type of person who hires liars. You can't accept the third pair. Amale Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan answered him, Imuchzikazo, Kodisan Miuchzaku. Rabbi Yochanan said, you know, it's true, she's been proven to be a liar, but you can't say you won't trust another Jew anymore just because she's been proven a liar. These are all kosher Jews as far as we know. So even though the first two sets she brought, you cannot believe, you can't say that any Jew that she brings from now on is a liar. Hadya Chazyel Rabbi Elazar Bishut. So he turned around and looked at Rabbi Eliezer with an angry look. He understood that when Rabbi Elazar told him this line, when earlier when the court case happened, it wasn't his own invention. He had heard it from the Rabbi. And he didn't tell it to him in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Amale, shamet mili mibanafcha velo amrit li mishme. He said to him, you know, you heard something from the Bar Nafcha, like the master blacksmith. You learned something from our teacher and you didn't tell it to me in his name? What's wrong with you? So he was upset at Rabbi Elazar. Because, you see, now in front of the court, Reish Lakish had made a mistake, and he hadn't accepted what Rabbi Elazar said, because in fact, there was no reason Reish Lakish should accept what Rabbi Elazar says. If he would have said it in Rabbi Yochanan's name, he would have accepted it. Lema Reish Lakish tamak Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan tamak Rabbanan. Maybe the argument between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is our Mishnah. Where Reish Lakish says, like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, remember Rabbi Yehuda said, istatitizo, once they've brought me, this pair of witnesses has proven that they're liars, so I don't accept anyone. And maybe Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbanan, because you see, Rabbanan will accept the new pairs of witnesses. Amar lach Reish Lakish, ana adam milach afilu Rabbanan, ad kan lo kami Rabbanan hatam delek ad kameh hader. When do the rabbis say we accept the next pair of witnesses? That's when we assume who's hiring this guy to keep saying they were with us, they were with us. There isn't anyone hiring him. But here, this guy is obviously going around hiring false witnesses on his behalf. Rabbi Yochanan amar lach, and Rabbi Yochanan says, "Na damri afilu Rabbi Yehuda." Ad kan lo amar Rabbi Yehuda hatam damri natu kuli alma. When does Rabbi Yehuda say they're liars? Because Rabbi Yehuda says it's ridiculous to assume that any pair that walked in, they could say you were with us. That's ridiculous. Was everyone with them on that day? But here, maybe the first two pairs were liars. They didn't really see the case. But maybe the third pair did see it. It's not as far-fetched as the case of the Mishnah. That's what Rabbi Yochanan will say. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree with me that in my case I should accept the third pair of witnesses because maybe they saw it. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan disagreed about whether we should accept the third pair of witnesses. Reish Lakish, we wanted to suggest maybe their disagreement is in line with the disagreement in our Mishnah. Do we assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't accept the second pair when they consistently say, these pair of witnesses were with us? We say, we'll accept the third pair or the fourth pair. At some point, we don't buy it that they were with you. So we assume that they're liars. And maybe that's where Reish Lakish comes in and says, we assume this woman is a liar. We're not going to accept any witnesses she brings. Reish Lakish says, no, even the rabbis will agree with me. Because in the case of Edim Zomimin, I don't know why, he says, who's going to go and hire liars? Maybe we're talking about a case of murder, but then there would be someone hiring them. I'm not sure what he means, why no one would go around to hire them to always come to court and say, whoever is coming here, they were with us. I don't know why he would say that. I'm not sure what pshat in that line is. He says, who would hire them to do that?
I would say the person's...
The defendant.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not sure what Rashi... Also the defendant. Let's see the Rashi shot. Right. So you see the commentaries in the back also say they don't understand what's going on here. They take it from a different angle, but bottom line, the Ma'aram, the Chochma Shlomo, they both say they don't understand the logical flow over here. I don't know.
But it can't just be like someone who is on your defendant's family?
Right, I agree. I don't know. I don't know. Don't have shot. Okay, but I'm in good company, so let's check one more place. The Rashash. Okay, say that. Onward. So we have a sugya here. We don't understand exactly the logic. Say that. We can live with that too. Bezrat Hashem. We'll review this Gemara. In the future, we will merit to have Svar here. I seem to remember that there are commentaries that want to learn a different pshat in the Mishnah, but if I don't see them in front of me, I don't want to quote it. This is going on something I learned many, many years ago. I don't want to go with it. Say that. Let's leave it as a question.
What's the basic machloket here is whether we accept the witnesses, the third set of witnesses, and we don't? Is that the
between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, or between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan in the Mishnah? So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the argument was, once the woman hired false witnesses twice, do we assume from now on anyone she brings in is a liar? Reish Lakish says yes, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, the machlokas was, once these witnesses testified more than once that the first pair and then the third pair were with them at the time of the crime, do we assume that this is a conspiracy and we don't accept their testimony anymore? Where Rabbi Yehuda says we won't accept them anymore, and Chachamim say we do.
We don't accept them to indefinitely as a Chachamim?
I don't know. The Mishnah says, Afilu me'akulam ya'areko. The Mishnah says even 100 pairs. I assume that's an exaggeration, but I don't know what the limit is. Seems a little far-fetched, right? Don't forget, they're going to undergo cross-examination. It's not so easy, but... Right? Seems far-fetched. Agreed. Yes?
So, you said that... We tried to compare Reish Lakish's opinion to that of Yehuda. Right? And then we said, no, Reish Lakish can even say, even like Rabbanan. What's the
right
far there?
Reish Lakish says... That's the svar which I don't know what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, for some reason, in our Mishnah, we assume that there's no one running around to hire them over and over again to testify, this pair was with us. In our case, you see that this woman is always looking to hire liars on her behalf. I can say, again, okay, so this is me adding my two cents into Rashi, that logic would dictate that it's probably easier to hire another pair of witnesses than to do something so obvious in front of the courts, to hire the same pair over and over again to say they were with us and they were with us and they were with us. That's a glaring lie. I'm saying it seems very illogical that the defendant would hire the same pair over and over again to say that these two witnesses were with us. It seems illogical. It would seem if he has the funds to hire false witnesses, he should do it with another pair or a third pair. That's again, okay, so that's my two cents. Doesn't say that exactly in Rashi. Rashi says, who's going to hire them? So I'm adding, maybe what Rashi means is, who's going to hire them again and again and again? When you're hiring different pairs of witnesses, I understand. But who's going to hire the same pair of witnesses over 100, to count their 100 other witnesses? Okay. Onward. Mishnah. En Eidim Zomimin Neragin Ad Sheigamer Adin. Eidim Zomimin will not get the death penalty unless the courts had already reached a Gemar Din, a conclusion. And then, after the conclusion, the Eidim HaMezimim walked in. Then the second pair of witnesses walks in and says, you were with us. Shareat Tzedukim Omerim. The Sadducees used to say, that they only get the punishment after the execution. If the first pair of witnesses succeeded in getting him executed, then the second pair of witnesses can get them to have that punishment. Shneimar nefesh tachat nefesh, or nefesh bin nefesh. It says a soul for a soul. So that's so the Sadducees say, you see, it means after one soul was taken, then you take the second soul. Amulem chachamim. But Chachamim said back to the Sadducees, but the verse says, Vasitem lo kashel zamam nasot lachiv. You will do to them what they plotted to do to their brother. V'arechiv kayam. The verse seems to indicate their brother who's still with us. Then why does the verse really say a soul for a soul? Yachol misha'a shekiblu edutan ye'algu. One might think that once their testimony was accepted, and then they were found to be edim zomimim, they should get the punishment just because their testimony was accepted, even though the courts had not yet ruled based on their testimony. Talmud lomar nefesh tachat nefesh, haina neragin ad shigamer hadin. That's why the Torah says a soul for a soul. We already saw earlier in the Gemara that he's considered a dead man from the time the courts ruled on him. Once they ruled, he should get the death penalty. So then I say, you see, they already killed him, because technically the courts already put him on death row. Then I could say, take a soul for a soul. If they become Edim Zomimin, their lives should be taken. But if all the courts did was accept their testimony, and the courts hadn't yet ruled based on their testimony, then I can't say that Vasitem lo kasher zamam, do unto them what they plotted. That's why the Torah added the verse, a soul for a soul. Wait until his soul was really on the line, which is when the courts actually ruled on their testimony. Look, this has halachic implications. Once the courts ruled he's on death row, if someone kills him, they don't get the death penalty. We do say his life has been diminished once he's put on death row. Just because he's in court doesn't mean he's going to get the death penalty. But once he's on death row, then that's where he's headed.
So you do them as kasher zamam, like they tried to...
Kasher zamam is true from the second they gave testimony. From the second their testimony was accepted, they were plotting.
Right.
That's a vasitim kasher zamam. So if I only work with kasher zamam, then I give them the death penalty once their testimony was accepted. Yeah?
And why does it matter that if you, with the one on death row, was killed, then we would not punish...
Once they've ruled, and then before they actually executed, we say that's nefesh, the nefesh. That's a life for a life. Before the ruling, although there was a risk, it's not yet his life on the line. There's a whole court proceeding that has to happen.
Right. So, but if the defendant that the witnesses testified against falsely, if he was executed.
Then we would not kill the Edim Zomimin. Because it says, Vasit no kasher zamam nasot le'achiv. Based on what he plotted to do to his brother. Seemingly indicated the brother's there.
Okay, right in that. It seems like that there would still be justice to, even though he was executed, then.
Right, this is Xeris Akasa. Right, it's not our logic. If not for the verse, we would really say, certainly you should kill him. If they meant to kill, that was the first page of the Masechet.
Right.
That the logic would dictate that if for plotting they're going to get killed, certainly for executing they should get killed, right?
Sure.
Right? Yeah. It's Xeris Akasa. If the Torah didn't say it, we wouldn't have said it.
Right.
Okay. Trying to see if there's a good place to stop after this. Okay, we'll start. We have another few minutes. We'll start, and then next time we'll review this. Okay? Tana, we have the following braisa. Beribi Omer. There was a rabbi named Beribi. He says, Lo halgu... Neragin. Algu, en neragin. if they didn't kill, if the Edim Zomimin did not actually get him executed before they became Edim Zomimin, then they might get executed. But if they did execute him, so then they won't get the death penalty. So we said that's counterintuitive. Amar Aviv, says father said to him, B'ni lav kal v'chomeru. Isn't it obvious? Isn't it a fortiori? Amar lo limatanu rabbeinu shenon shin min adin. He said, you're right, but you taught us the rule that you cannot punish a person based on a logically derived halacha, based on a kal v'chomer. You cannot use a kal v'chomer to punish him. From the verses we see, you punish them specifically before they executed. You want to say a kal v'chomer? We don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. Titanya, now we will bring the source for this halacha. Ein onshin min adin. This is a halacha that shows up throughout Shas. You can't punish based on a kal v'chomer. It says in the verse, Ish asher yikach tachto bat avivo bat imo. If a person takes his sister, who is the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, the verse indicates that one would get the death penalty for being intimate with a sister from the father or the sister of the mother through the mother. Either they share a father or they share a mother. What about if they share both parents? Would you still give them the death penalty? The verse comes back and says, anyone who was intimate with his sister gets a death penalty. Why did the verse have to restate that? Achelo yomar yeshli bedin. If the verse wouldn't have stated that, I could have figured it out. If the verse is ready to punish him for a sister who shares a father without a mother, or shares a mother without a father, isn't it obvious that when they share both, he'll get the death penalty? So here you see, the Torah taught you, you cannot use logical derivations to punish a person. Wherever you want to punish him, it has to be written explicitly, even to this degree. Now we have to notice another point. There are three types of kal v'chomer. The obvious type of kal v'chomer is if, let's say, I'm not so strong, and you're 10 times as strong as me, so if I could lift this watch, certainly you can lift this watch. So what are we saying? If one thing is more severe than the other, and the lighter thing can accomplish this, certainly the more severe thing can accomplish this. Right? So that's the standard kal v'chomer. But there's an even more obvious type of kal v'chomer. The more obvious type of kal v'chomer says, if I can lift this watch, certainly me and you together can lift this watch. Because this second type of kal v'chomer is encompassing. It's not just saying you are greater than me so you can do more. It's saying you and I are obviously greater than me alone. So if I can do it, so then obviously I can do it with your help. So it's encompassing. Now you understand that that's a more obvious type of kal v'chomer. That's the case we just gave. Meaning we said, a sister who shares a mother and a sister who shares a father. Now obviously a sister who shares both has both quantifiers. So that's a kal v'chomer that's super obvious. And even so, the Torah spelled it out. So the Torah was telling me, even on a super obvious type of kal v'chomer, I still need to spell it out. I cannot punish based on a logical derivation of a kal v'chomer. Even such a super obvious kal v'chomer. Okay, what do we see today? So we began today with... Yes, there's a third which we didn't discuss yet. That's complex. The third one we'll get to Bezrat Hashem. The third one is a discussion of comparing two halachot. Meaning I'll sometimes say, if this is so here, then this should also be so there. There are two ways that breaks up. Meaning we gave a simpler one where this is more severe than this, so if this is true here, it should be true there. It breaks up into a slightly greater detail where we have to draw it out and show how that breaks into two. Okay, what do we see today? We saw that if one pair of witnesses keep saying all the other witnesses were with us, Rabbi Yehuda says we don't accept them, it's a conspiracy. We asked why then does the first pair of witnesses get killed? We suggested maybe we're talking about a scenario where it already happened. We didn't like that answer because... What halachic relevance does it have if a story once happened? Rava suggested maybe it means to say if only one pair came, then you'll kill them. The Gemara says that doesn't work, because then why does it say bilvad? The word bilvad seems to indicate that you'll execute the first pair even when there is a third pair present. We left that as a question. We brought a story of a woman who brought in a first pair of witnesses. They were found to be liars. Second pair were found to be liars. Third pair, they couldn't get them to contradict themselves in cross-examination. Reish Lakish says, nonetheless, she is obviously only bringing in liars. Rabbi Lazar said, no. Even though she brings in liars, but you can't say all the Jewish people are liars. These two people are known to be kosher Jews. You have to accept their testimony. Similar story happened where Rav Yochanan made the same claim, and Reish Lakish was upset at Rabbi Lazar. Why didn't you tell to me in Rav Yochanan's name when you said that logic that even if she's a liar, that doesn't mean any other Jew that she brings is a liar. The Gemara suggested maybe their argument is in line with the argument in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda is suspectful that maybe everyone here is liars, and that's Reish Lakish's line of reasoning. And the rabbis say, no, you can't say that they're all liars, and that's why Rabbanan will accept the Edim HaMezimim, that you can't say just because they lied once, they'll keep lying. And then we said, not necessarily, because in the case of the Mishnah, who's going to hire them to keep lying? So maybe that's why the rabbis believe them. Over here, obviously, this woman is hiring liars. Maybe here the rabbis would agree not to believe her. And in the case of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda's logic is obvious. You know, can you say that every pair of witnesses was with this pair? It seems illogical to believe them about everyone that they were with them. Whereas in our case, it's possible that if the first two pairs didn't see it, the third pair did see it. So that's why maybe Rabbi Yehuda would admit that I should accept the third pair, and that's why you can't infer from our Mishnah what Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbanan would hold in the case of the Machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Then we brought the Mishnah that said that the rabbis said you only punish the Edim Zomimin after Gmar Din, after the courts had decided but had not yet executed. The Sadducees would say only after execution would the Edim Zomimin get punished, because it says Nefesh Tachat Nefesh. Chazal say no, it says Kasher Zaman Nasot Le'achiv. It indicates his brother is still around. Nefesh Tachat Nefesh only indicates that it has to be after the courts concluded the punishment, but before execution. Beribi's father said it's a Kal V'chomer. If you'll punish them after the decision but before execution, certainly you should punish them after execution. To which Beribi answered, yes, but Einon Shin Min Adin. You can't punish out of logic. Every punishment has to be explicit in the Torah. We said the source for that halacha is in the Braisa, that when the Torah says a punishment for a person who's intimate with a sister who shares a father and a sister who shares a mother, the Torah then reiterates any sister is punishable by death, any sister that one is intimate with. Why did the Torah have to reiterate that? To teach me that I cannot infer through logic a punishment. The fact that one is punishable and the other is punishable doesn't mean the third is punishable. It has to be spelled out. And we don't punish based on a logical inference, based on a fortiori, a kal v'chomer.